The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's pain-free Friday, Farrell on a bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad seed, a broken date, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad editors, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Palatial right across the river and through the woods from where Granny just stole another satchel of mine. I think it was the hybrid citrus tsunami when she was drinking shots of JMO in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up should do. But all my friends that come around flat to party up. Rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown. What a mess, this town's a tatter. My brain's splattered all over Manhattan. Should do be shake out. Ooh. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with Mafia tonight. And here's the situation as we speak. The Braves lead the Dodgers again. They're in the top of the third, 2-0 Atlanta. And they got runs basically in the first. Darnell had a sack. I think a sack fly to right. Freeman scored on that one. And then Pache singled to center in the bottom of the second. Swanson scored on that one. That made it 2-0. As far as the other game goes, Houston is two outs away from forcing game 7. They lead 7-4 over the Rays. Another big night for Houston as they've come back from 3-0 in the series to tie the series at 3s. And tomorrow night will be a winner-take-all game 7. As far as college football goes tonight, I hit the SMU win over Tulane both ways. SMU to win, Tulane plus the points. It was 37-34 Stangs in overtime. A game-winning field goal in the extra session. Won it for SMU. They're 5-0 now. And BYU's up 14-3 in the first over Houston on the road. BYU looks good early in this one. It's Farrell on a bench. Go with us.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, for all and eventually the end of pain-free Friday, and the Dodgers are down 2-0 in the third with two outs. Betts is up, and it's just unbelievable to me that, I don't know, it's like they're sleepwalking. I know they got Dustin May going, but they're down a couple runs in this game already. I find it crazy that they aren't, you know, it would appear to me attacking at all, like trying to, you know, do anything to get on base. They're not up there swinging away. They're not doing anything. Like, literally, they're just walking through this, sleepwalking, literally. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? Down 2-0. Like, you know, the difference being in that when I was watching, right, the Astros the last three nights, they just were going after everything. They were swinging. They were fired up. They were intense. They were, I mean, just completely rabid dogs going after the Rays. Every night, every play they made, they were fired up. They were making, turning double plays. They were fired up. There was a scene in that game tonight with Yandy Diaz going at it with Valdez, the pitcher, and they were arguing with one another like a fight was going to break out. And then Correa came over and lit up his pitcher, Valdez, and told him, you know, don't let them get in your head. And something like that. He was screaming at him and calming the kid down because he was so fired up because Diaz wanted to beat his ass. There was a whole thing going on there, Cuba and Puerto Rico. They had a whole, like, you know, back and forth. And the catcher was like, the catcher understood Diaz's complaint with the kid. The kid said something to him or taunted him, something, and Diaz wasn't having it. And then my point is that, like, the Astros were all kinds of fired up and they're just involved in the game. And I'm like watching the Dodgers right now and they just look lifeless. I mean, it's like aren't even taking it seriously. Like they got this in the bag or something, or that they're not worried, or that they got all night. Don't worry about it. We haven't done anything in the first three innings. We'll get them in the next three. I don't understand their philosophy, but they got this look on their face like it's no big deal, but it's anything but, right? It's anything but that. It's a problem here. They're in dire straits. They're in a serious problem here with the Braves. If they give up, literally, in my opinion, Mafia, any more runs at all, literally, they're down two already. If they give up a couple more runs, if this gets to four or five, it's over. The Braves pitching's too good.
Right, and that's a problem sometimes when you have such a good offense like the Dodgers do. When you feel like you can score at any time, you know, maybe you don't have that same sense of urgency. You figure, we'll get it at some point. It's not like they're going to shut us out. Well, you know what? Their pitch has done pretty damn good against you for a lot of this series, so maybe you should have a little more urgency. Maybe you should grip the bats a little tighter, swing a little harder, go for the fence a little more, because there's no guarantee you're getting those runs that you used to get every other game.
So I'm like, you know, I got all these games going. So the Astros already won. They got it done. It was huge that they've come back from 3-0 down. Now, look, I think the conversation that I was seeing for this game tomorrow was that it sounds like, you know, obviously they have Glasnow ready, but Charlie Morton is on normal rest, and he's the choice. From what I'm seeing, it's going to be Morton. And I would rather, I'll be honest with you, in a big game seven, I would rather go with Charlie Morton in that spot if I were Cash and the Rays than Glasnow, and here's why. I thought Glasnow pitched average, and so did he. He even admitted that he was average when he pitched the other night. And I thought, you know, Charlie Morton won game two, right? So, look, Charlie Morton looked fantastic when he pitched. Do you know that I think that since he's come over, I think they said something in the middle of the game tonight that I caught. I could be wrong, but I think they said something about the fact that I'd have to, like, research it or something, and I didn't do that. But I think what they said was he's never lost a playoff game with the Rays, you know, since he came over from Houston. And so here's this guy, you know, when I see him pitch, his, you know, complete command of what he's doing, methodical, takes his time. He's very deliberate. He's focused. He's driven by, you know, throwing good pitches, throwing strikes, working batters. And he's dangerous still. He's the oldest guy on the team, but it doesn't matter. He's still got filthy stuff. And he throws all kinds of different pitches. It's not just one or two pitches. He's throwing four pitches at least. And I think, you know, I like Glasnow's stuff. I won't deny that Glasnow throws 100 miles an hour, 101 miles an hour. I get all that. But that didn't seem to phase the Astros or their lineup. You know, when you look at lineups in the teams that are left, you have to think, you know, 1 through 9, no one can argue with the Dodgers have probably, based on, you know, performance and regular season and the last several years, they have been proven to pudding. They've had the best 1 through 9 lineup. And then I think, you know, that the Astros have the second best 1 through 9 hitters. And then I would say, you know, fairly even between the Braves and Rays. Look, I felt that the Rays were the best team with pitching and defense and hitting and home run power, and not necessarily in any order. I don't think you can just win hitting home runs, because that's what the Rays do. They just hit home runs and score all their runs, right? But I think that the bottom line is that they were the best overall team in terms of the whole package. You know, if you include every facet of the game and combine it together, I think they're the most dangerous team. But they are in serious trouble. And I think that one of the reasons they're in serious trouble is because they've stopped hitting. They don't score runs. They only score runs when they hit home runs. And the Astros 1 through 9 has lit up their pitching. It's simple. That's it. It's just simple. They have raked. They have scored runs. They have come out early. Altuve hitting home runs. Springer hitting home runs. Scoring runs, getting a lead, and getting pitching. I mean, Dusty Baker had like 5 rookies throw the other night, and they were all rookies, and they just all did their job. So he is patching it together. He's piecing it together, and it's working. And no one can argue with their bats or their talent in that lineup in terms of when they're at the plate. I mean, every one of those guys can rake. And I mean, you know, if Bregman's not hitting, like, somebody else picks him up. You know, Correa's been the hottest hitter. There's no doubt. He had the walk-off home run to win game 5. And then tonight they did it again. I mean, it really is amazing. Morton 4-0 in the playoffs, 2-0 versus Houston with the Rays in the postseason. He's given up 4 runs in 4 starts. So, I don't know exactly what the plan is for the Astros tomorrow, but I do think Morton is the guy for the Rays, and he's their best hope, because he could actually stem this entire atrocity of their lineup not hitting. They're not hitting at all, right? So they've gone cold, but they got a pitcher that can actually give the Astros problems. He already did it once, so ask yourself this question. Are you willing to bet on Charlie Morton tomorrow as a bettor? Are you willing to go to the window and bet on the Rays because of Charlie Morton? Because I know you're not going to go bet on them based on their cold bats. I mean, you'd have to think after they've won three in a row, the Astros, that they own all the momentum and they're inside the Rays' heads now. I said this on Coast to Coast today. They are not going to sleep well and they're going to be tripping all night, all morning, all day, knowing that they have choked. They've let them back in this. They should have won this series and now they're choking and they know it. It's in their minds. So I think that's a factor against the Rays, knowing that they're about to be the second team to ever have it to them. The Red Sox did it to the Yankees in 04. It could happen again tomorrow.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you. Because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pro on a bench on a pay-per-view Friday. All right, here's a drive. Swanson. Oh, what a play and right by Betts. He's going to throw it home, but the runner's safe. Ozuna saving the plate on a short fly to right. Betts ran in and made a shoelace grab and then threw it home to a sliding Ozuna. And they're looking at the replay. All I know is that he was safe. I mean, I got to see it again to believe it. But first things first, he caught that ball. That's a beautiful catch by Betts. It definitely was in his glove. So there's no questions asked there. And then I got to see the, oh man, he was not on the bag. He left early. They're going to get him leaving early. I wouldn't be surprised. It's 3-0. I don't know. If you watch that replay, you'll see that it looked to me like, without a doubt, that he left the bag early. He was not on the bag when Betts made that catch. In fact, he was 3 feet off the bag. He wasn't even close to tagging up. He was 3 feet off the bag, and they're going to get him. They're going to throw the ball over to third and get him because he left the bag early. There's no doubt. Did you see the play, Mafia?
Yeah, he was definitely off the bag, at least by a foot. Like, I don't know what he was thinking. He was not, you know, usually you see the guy get there and, like, get the foot, like, planted and waiting for the catch. He just had a complete mental lapse there that he was skipping before he was even in the glove.
No disrespect. He was 3 or 4 feet away from the bag when he made that catch. There was no 1 foot. He was 3 or 4 steps away from the bag. He was, like, fully down the line. From when he caught that ball. When the ball was in his glove, he was standing 3-4 feet away from that bag. He was not on the bag. He did not tag up. They're going to nail him at third. That run's not going to count.
Yeah, he completely didn't think that he was going to make that catch. He thought he was going to fall right in front of him, so he was off and going already.
That's right. So I think they got him dead to rights, and I think you'll see that. I don't understand. I got to be honest with you. What takes him so long to make a decision? Because here they are. They're making this decision. They're going to get the guy at third out. I was right. Boom. There you go. Ozuna's fault. Ozuna should have stayed at third, tagged up, and he still would have been safe. Maybe not. I mean, the catcher swung at him and missed him. But I think, you know, I guess the 3 or 4 feet that he was off the bag made the difference. Because if he would have tagged up and been on the bag when Betts made the catch, he probably would have been out on the throw because Betts made a perfect throw to the catcher who swiped and missed Ozuna. Ozuna was safe because he beat the throw by like a foot or two and slid in, right, and was safe. And that was because he left the bag early. And that was painfully obvious. That's my question, though. Why does it take so long to review a play? It's unbelievable. Because when we see it on TV, let's just face facts, they're looking at all the different angles and whatever they're using. Super slow-mo, 5G, they're using gigantic camera angles that we don't even have. And they see it all at the league office, right? But my thing is, when we see the replay, when we're watching on you know, network television, whatever, when we're watching the game and you see it five times in a row, when they just keep showing the replay over and over, because that's what I was going off of. Betts made a catch. Ozuna left early. He's out. He's going to be out. And I said it took me all of about a minute, right? Why did it take them 5 minutes to make that call? I mean, it just takes forever, these replays. It's the same thing in the NFL. Every time they have a replay, it takes 5 minutes. College football tonight, I saw a play where the BYU quarterback was running to the corner of the end zone, and he got tackled, and he dove for the end zone. They gave him the touchdown, but his knee was down. Sure enough, they do a replay. He's down a half foot from the goal line. They would eventually score. It didn't matter. But the replay, they go to the replay, and it takes 5-7 minutes. It takes 7 minutes to make your mind up. Like, I don't understand why it takes so long. Seriously. And don't tell me so that they can get it right. Because you and I can be, we can smoke a bone and absolutely drink 6 beers and still be able to look at a replay on television and see if the guy's, you know, in the end zone or not, or if his knee was down, or if the guy left third base early. I mean, how long does it take you, Mafia, even if you're baked, to see that the guy left early or that the guy's knee's down in a football game? Why does it take 7 minutes to get a replay call? It takes forever.
Yeah, I don't know. That one, like you said, was pretty obvious. It's one thing when you have something that's kind of very hard to tell, you know, it's inconclusive one way or the other, and you really want to make sure you get it both ways. But that one, like you said, once you see A, he made the catch, okay, that's the first one. That's done in 30 seconds. Then B, is he off the bag? Yeah, that's obvious. He's off the bag. Done in a minute. No problem. Why it takes five is ridiculous.
So what do you do if, and I'm just throwing this out there, if the Dodgers win this game, come back and win this game by a run, and then you can blame that game on Ozuna leaving early from the bag at third on a an easy, you know, in my opinion, an easy sack fly chance to score. Even though Betts made a great running catch and throw, we don't know. We can't officially say or mark that he would have been safe or scored the run or been out. We don't know. Because when he left early, I mean, they're showing it again for the 50th time. The bottom line is the guy is well off the bag when he made the catch, and they got him. So what if the Dodgers win the game by a run, Moff? I mean, they're going to go back to that Ozuna play, I guarantee you, and say that's the reason they lost the game.
Yeah, they are. I don't know if that'd be a fair assessment, though, because, I mean, even if, let's say he goes back and tags all the way, like you said, that 3 or 4 steps probably is the reason he's safe. So if he goes back and tags all the way, he either A, probably gets thrown out, or B, decides, you know what, I don't think I have this. I'm going to wait and stay at third. And then there's no guarantee they bring him in anyway. So I think either way, you're probably not getting that run in. It's not a situation where, oh, okay, well, if you tagged up, then we have an extra run automatically.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. Now a deep drive all the way to the wall and a home run. Now we got a game. You get the solo shot right here by the Dodgers. Seager, Corey Seager hits it to dead center, and it's 2-1 now. So here come the Dodgers all of a sudden waking up.
I feel like that one was misplayed too. It seemed like the center fielder kind of went back and then hit the wall. I was like, oh, okay. Like he made like a half jump at it. Like, why are you not in stride trying to climb the wall to make that play instead of just half jumping from, you know, flat feet?
Yeah. So anyway, that's a huge home run for Seager. Anyway, it's 2-1 now. Braves get the early lead. Here come the Dodgers. That, you know, you would think that'll wake them up because they look dead to rights early in this game. And now all of a sudden you get a Seager home run and they're down a run. Remember, don't forget, Ozuna would have made it 3-0, and it'd be 3-1 right now, and they'd still have a 2-run lead. But they dunk because he got nailed, leaving early, and now it's a 1-run game. I just have this sneaking suspicion that this is going to factor into this game. in my opinion, it already has. I mean, without a doubt, it would have been 3-0. It would have been 3-1 right now. Who knows? All I know is, and remember this, they had Ozuna on, and now here's another drive to left, but they make the play. All I know is I think they had another runner on base. The inning would have kept going, right? So I think, you know, the whole thing was costly for the Braves. They would have been up 2 runs. They would have been up 3 runs. Then the home run would have been, they would have still been up 2 runs. So either way, 2-1 Braves. That's all I know. And they're in the fourth with 1 out. So, boy, the Dodgers needed that home run from Seager because they just simply have looked like they're dying a slow death here against the Braves in this must win. They absolutely have to win this game. And we all know what the deal is. They're down 3-1 in the series. They have to win the entire way out. They got to win tonight. They got to win Saturday. And then they'd have to win Sunday, right? Isn't that about right, Mafia? They got to win Friday to make it 3-2, Saturday to make it 3-3, Sunday they'd have to win it to win the series. I have my doubts that they can actually pull it off because it's just simple. I mean, the Braves have been kicking their ass. That's just all there is to it. No one in L.A. can deny it. No one can argue it. You can say whatever you want. You can blame whoever you want. You can go back on your usual pathetic blame Clayton Kershaw for everything. And then right after Kershaw, they start blaming Dave Roberts and they blame everybody. But the bottom line is, instead of blaming everybody and pointing fingers, I think the reality of it is that the Braves have kicked your ass. So why not just give them credit? Because they've done everything to beat you. You know what I mean? Like, they've done everything. They've got the pitching, the hitting, the home runs, all of it. Freddie Freeman's killed you. Ozuna last night was unbelievable. He just lit it up, hit 2 home runs. He was 4-for-5. I mean, he was jacking shots out, one of them off the second deck light, signage. I mean, he just blasted one. I mean, he had 2 home runs. I mean, the guy was not messing around at all. So, I mean, it's just been all Braves. This isn't about who do you blame and everything else. Haven't you gotten used to Kershaw failing now every single year in the playoffs? Clayton Kershaw is, you know, one of the greatest regular season pitchers ever. With his, you know, ERA in the twos, low twos. And then in the playoffs, his ERA is in the high fours. It's the worst ERA ever for a guy with that many starts in baseball history. It's the same thing every year. It's Clayton Kershaw fails in the playoffs, and then the Dodger fans blame him. So I kind of want to go back and look at that that Astro game in terms of, you know, how they got it done, because it really is unbelievable how they've come back and tied this series. It really is. So bottom line, it was I have to get to the beginning. Oh, that was in the late in the game. I got to look at that. All right. So I guess Adames doubled the center. Lau scored. It was 1-0, and everybody was excited for the Rays. And they held that lead until, I think it was the fifth inning. In the fifth, Springer singled to center. Gurriel scored, and Diaz scored. So a 2-run single by Springer. It was 2-1. Then Altuve doubled to left, and Springer scored. It was 3-1. And then eventually, Altuve got to third on a pass ball by Zunino, and then Correa single to left. Altuve scored. Brantley to second. It was 4-1, and then they made it 5-1 in the top of the sixth. Tucker homer to left center, his first playoff home run ever. 5-1, and then you get in the seventh inning, Brantley single to shallow right. Altuve scored after he had singled, got to second on another pass ball by Zunino, and it was 6-1 on the Brantley RBI single. Then Tucker hit a sac fly to left. Brantley scored, That was after Correa had doubled to deep center. Brantley went to third, and he eventually scored on the Tucker sack fly, made it 7-1. Then Margot homered to left, 7-2. And then in the bottom of the eighth, Margot homered again to left center with Lau on. So their whole offense tonight was basically Margot's two home runs, and that was it. And they came all the way back and down 3-0 in the series. It's now 3-3 with tomorrow, the game 7. And that is just crazy, right? It's absolutely crazy. So what I want to know is, they still haven't announced it, but I think it's going to be Charlie Morton. And then they'll have Glasnow ready to, you know, help out, do whatever, if he has to throw innings or whatever it is. Houston scores in this BYU game. It's 14-10 BYU first half. And the first game tonight was crazy. SMU and Tulane went to overtime. SMU won it on an easy field goal. They had tried a 57-yarder at the end of regulation, and the kid hit the upright. He hooked it in and almost made it. He had enough leg, but it hit the upright and bounced out. So they went to overtime, and they stopped Tulane, and then SMU got the ball, and SMU kicked a field goal and won. So that was that. And I was getting Tulane in 7. I had SMU to win and Tulane in 7. I think that number shrunk down on FanDuel before kickoff. I could be wrong. I think on the show today, on Coast to Coast, it was under 7. I think it was either 6.5, 6, something like that. Who knows? All I know is I hit both ends of that, SMU and Tulane, on both sides of that bet. And then in this second game, I went with BYU. They're up 14-10 right now. There's a long way to go. But if you were to guess, Mafia, based on tomorrow's game 7, and if it were, let's say, you know, hypothetically, Charlie Morton pitching for the Rays, can he stop this bleeding and beat the Astros and do what he did in game 2? Or are the Astros just going to roll him again and win the series and win 4 straight?
I have a little bit of faith in Charlie Morton. Not that he's the greatest pitcher ever. Not that he's, you know, your ace in the hole that, you know, you need to get a stop against anybody. He's going to step in there on the fifth day and shut it down and, you know, give you a chance. But like you said, he's had good playoff numbers, 4-0 in his career in Tampa, 2-0 against Houston. He not only beat them this year, he beat them last year when they faced him in the playoffs too and lost to them in that series that they had against them. So the guy just knows what to do, it seems, against Houston and when it, you know, counts most in the playoffs. So I feel good. And then, you know, you get a good 4 or 5 innings out of him at least. You got Glasnow coming out of the pen, maybe in a good situation instead of having all the pressure of being the main guy to start the game. I think that could work in their favor greatly with the way they, you know, work all those pitchers in the bullpen. Hopefully the offense gets a little kickstart going too, because they won't need as many runs, you would think, with Morton on the mound.
So I have to look. I guess it was Monday's game. They won Sunday and Monday. And in that game on Monday, Morton was the winner. And I just want to look at his numbers from that game when they won that game 4-2. Morton went 5 innings, gave up 5 hits, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts, and gave up no runs. No runs at all. I mean, that's all you need to know. Guy went 5 innings, gave up 5 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 5 Ks. What more do you need to know? He's the guy to go with. That's all there is to it. Because I know for a fact,
when you only need to throw 5 innings, it's perfect.
So Yarbrough went in the next game. And then the game that I think that when you look at the game that Glasnow pitched, he was the loser in that game that the Astros finally got a win 4-3. That was game 4, right? And Glasnow went 6 innings, gave up 8 hits, 4 earned runs, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. So the Astros scored every run off Glasnow. So there's no decision to be made. It's already been made. It's got to be Morton. Why would you start Glasnow when he pitched against the Astros? They scored 4 runs on him, all earned, and they beat him. You got to go with Morton. He didn't give up any runs. I mean, that's it. He walked one guy, struck out 5, and gave up no runs. I mean, that's your best chance tomorrow. You got to go with Charlie Morton and the horse that brought you there. I mean, like, they thought Snell was the answer, right? Snell, when I was on the air today on Coast to Coast, I think it's pretty obvious what I said was that you know, I don't trust Snell in this game because I didn't think he looked good the first time he pitched, even though they won. But tonight he was 4 innings, 3 hits, 2 earned runs, 4 walks, 4 strikeouts, right? So go back to last Sunday when it started and Snell got the win. And in that game, he went 5 innings, gave up 1 earned run, walked 2, and struck out 2 and gave up a home run, right? So in that one, he threw 105 pitches and he gave up 1 earned run. So he was a lot better in that game. When he pitched tonight, he certainly was not the same pitcher, was he? So everybody thought that, you know, I'll give you this. He won the first game, but I didn't think it was the greatest thing I've ever seen. You know, it is what it is. But I bet against him tonight. I took the Astros and I hit the bet. So I bet against their best pitcher. Now I'm sitting here telling you that who would you rather, honestly, in a big game, in a really big game, which is tomorrow, game 7, would you rather start Charlie Morton or Snell? And I would rather, I'll be honest with you, I'd rather start Charlie Morton. He's done more. He's pitched in bigger games, World Series, everything. He's done it all. And I just don't, I don't think, you know, I think Snell's pitched in games and playoff games, and I think he's been really good. There's no denying that Snell's good, right? But I just think in a gigantic situation, in a big game, a winner-take-all game, I would rather start Morton. And he's been with the Rays now for, you know, we just gave you the numbers, 4-0 in playoff games. The guy doesn't lose. Simple. And it's a simple decision. And he's the man, and let's see if he can do it. Now the question is, are you going to bet on him? Are you going to bet that he can stop this bloodletting and this bleeding that the Astros have done to the Rays? Not only have they beaten them in 3 straight, but I think it's safe to say they've sucked the life out of them. It's like Dracula. I mean, they really have just sunk their fangs in them and sucked the life out of them. I mean, they have disappeared. They're not even the same team. I don't understand how you can really, it makes no sense to me how you can kick a team's ass like that and go up 3-0 and then just stop playing. It's unbelievable. It's inexplicable. You can't even describe what you're watching. It's just, how is a team that good? They obliterate the Yankees all year. They beat them again in the playoffs. They have destroyed everybody. They're destroying the Astros 3-0 in the series. And then they just absolutely Mr. Freeze. I mean, they are frozen in time. What have they done? Margot's hit a couple of home runs. Choi hit a home run last night. Brandon Lau hit a home run, and he's, you know, 1 for his last, what is he, 2 for his last 42? That guy's in a slump like no other. I couldn't even believe I almost fell over when he hit that home run last night to dead center field. I couldn't even believe he got a bat on the ball. He's been slumping so bad. I don't think I've ever seen a guy slump that bad and stay in the lineup. Cash just keeps going to him every day. I think for his alleged defense, whatever. Listen, I got to tell you, at some point, if a guy can't hit, he can't hit. I'm not putting him in the lineup. But this whole team has gone south. They're not hitting. They're not doing anything. I heard him talking during this game tonight, the announcers talking about how they only hit home runs. Whatever. I mean, that's not cutting the mustard. They aren't doing anything with the bats. Like, who cares if a guy hits a solo home run? Seriously, when you're losing, those home runs seem meaningless, don't they? I mean, honestly. They're not hitting. So, I mean, that's the thing. Who's going to step up tomorrow in game 7 and get hits for Charlie Morton? Or is he going to have the Jacob DeGrom factor, which is a guy that wins Cy Youngs every year and he wins every game he pitches, 1-0. The Mets never score runs for the guy. Every time he pitched for 2 years, they never score runs. It's the most unbelievable thing ever. The guy goes out and pitches. Every time he pitches, they don't score. Meanwhile, he's the best pitcher in baseball, but he can't get any love, can't get any run support. Is that what's going to happen to Charlie Morton tomorrow, that he's going to go out and pitch five innings, give up no runs, and then the Rays aren't going to be able to score any runs? Don't tell me they've been scoring runs, because they haven't. Like, I'm not buying all the, you know, rhetoric about that they're all of a sudden, you know, in this thing because they can hit home runs or whatever. They're not scoring. They're not hitting. They're not getting on base. The Astros are doing everything. It's pretty obvious to me. Now, here's Houston with about five and change left in the first half inside the 10-yard line of BYU. They were down 14-3 in this game. Then they scored to make it 14-10. And now they're third and goal, trying to score on BYU to take the lead. Otherwise, if they can't get it here on third and goal, they're going to kick a field goal to try to make it 14-13. So it's a pretty good game. Both games have been pretty good tonight in college football, which is Gandhi for us. I like watching good games when we're in here. Soon enough, when the MAC starts, and you know Maction is coming, they're going to touchdown Houston. They scored on third and goal, threw it into the end zone at the goal line and caught it. Bell with the touchdown. So here's the deal. All I know is that if you're watching college football every night of the week, we'll have Monday Night Football NFL, Thursday Night Football NFL, right? And then you'll have Tuesday, Wednesday Maction, Friday night college football, Saturday college football, Sunday NFL pain day. That's 7 days a week football. Who needs baseball, NBA, and NHL if you got football 7 days a week, honestly? And as long as you have popcorn in the cupboard, you're good to go. All right, Pharrell on a bench on a pain-free Friday. So I was seeing these stories floating around now about this interest the Knicks have. Again, for the second time, I've heard all this stuff about CP3 to the Knicks. And then it's turned into Melo now being interested, allegedly, in coming back to the Knicks if he can play with his pal, Chris Paul. So, you know, we've talked on Coast to Coast and on Pharrell on the Bench about how, frankly, the Knicks, everyone's going to the Knicks and no one ever does. Every great player. Have we not heard it, like CP3, Russell Westbrook? I think there was another one in there that we heard, Mafia, that was going to go to the Knicks, and none of them ever go to the Knicks. It's just Oladipo. That's right. So Oladipo was the other one. And I don't even want Oladipo. So the guy that I saw coming off of his injury, I don't want him. I'll take the guy Oladipo prior to that injury. I thought he played terrible in the bubble, but fair enough. He was injured, whatever. But Chris Paul, I thought Chris Paul was unbelievable for the Thunder. There's no denying it, but I have to say, you know, and I thought Melo was incredible for the Blazers in the bubble. I thought he was incredible the whole season for the Blazers. And I personally think that he should stay with the Blazers. I think that team fits him to a glove. I think his game is perfect for that. His 15 a night, he's not shooting 30 shots like he did with the Knicks every single game. It was all about him, and the back pages were all about him, and the radio was all about him, and the TV. Everybody always talked about Melo, blamed Melo for everything in New York. Win or lose, it was always Melo, Melo, Melo. Drove him nuts. And I think he liked being the celebrity on the team in New York. I think he loved being the main man on Broadway, without a doubt, at the Mecca. But I think it grew on him like a weed. I just think it became toxic. And I got to tell you, I'm not buying that.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/trygreenlight. That's greenlight.com/trygreenlight.
Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.